Well, I just want to thank you guys, all of you. I remember when I used to come here as a little girl, and now I'm graduating. That's surprising. you guys have been such a big part of my life, and I can't thank every one of you, and I love you guys all so much, especially my mom and dad, who have always been there for me, and my grandma. You guys are amazing. And the pastor, and Diana, all of you guys, and Sophie, who I love so much. So now I'm going to sing a song. So yeah.
Tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all its stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Broken dreams and wasted years until the past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen, amen. Who can take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty? Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Is it good to have been here today? Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like to ask you to turn to the Epistle of James, the first chapter. I'm going to read just a few verses. I thought about doing this, but this is the kindness of my heart, Gabby. I've been thinking a lot about graduation, and obviously you're a graduate today, and I thought about having a chair sitting right here in front, and I would just preach to you. Aren't you glad I'm tender-hearted and kind? A message I would entitle Higher Learning, James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he should receive anything of the Lord, for a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Our gracious Heavenly Father, these few words, penned by human hand, but breathed by you. Lord, eternal in the heavens, for the earth and the heavens may pass away, but your word will endure forever. And so we come to this portion of our service today, Lord, to dine upon that which you have said, so that it might be good for us, that we might grow thereby. For Lord, you have proclaimed yourself that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. And so, Lord, we come expecting, as we have emptied ourselves in praise unto you, we are expecting, Lord, to be filled by you. And to this end, Lord, we pray that you would hide your servant behind the cross, that you would direct and guide, and that you would speak through these fallible lips of clay, the infallible word of God, to the point that your people might be edified, but most importantly, Lord, that you would be glorified. And so we pray these things in the authority, in the power, in the only name by which a man might be saved, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as I stated, I guess that's one of the good things, lots of good things, I think, about graduation from high school or college or whatever the graduation is, that you're not only graduating from, but more importantly, you're graduating to. You know, I think of Scripture that where Christ has begun a good work in us, and he's going to continue that. And really, for each one of us, every day is a graduation, if you want to think about it. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know that God holds us in that, whatever it is, and that he has plans and purposes for us. So this life that we live by faith, trusting in him, and yet, certainly anxiety at times of the unknown, maybe even fear creeps in, perhaps doubt at times, and we wait upon the Lord. I was thinking about a song the other day. I don't know if this happens to you, but it happens to me quite regularly. I don't know if I hear it someplace in the distance or if it's just a subconscious thing, but I'll find myself singing songs that I don't even know particularly what they mean. And it's not always gospel songs. Sometimes it's secular songs. Sometimes it's songs from way back in my past someplace, and I regurgitate them, and they come out my mouth. That's the most poetic way I can tell you about my singing. It's a regurgitation of what's in. Kim, what are you laughing at over there? You've heard me sing. Okay. The song goes something like this. It was 1965. A gal by the name of Jackie DeShannon sang it. The lyrics were written by Hal David in cooperation with composer Burt Bacharach. What the world needs now is love. I'm not even going to try to sing. Is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. You know it, right? Okay. 1965. What you maybe didn't know about that song, it was written as a kind of an anti-war protest song dealing with the Vietnam War. And if you read through the song, it's kind of interesting because it says things like, we don't need another mountain, we don't need another valley, we don't need another field. The only thing the world needs now is love and more of it, because there's just not enough of it. And I was thinking about that song, and I thought, well, it's just kind of a passing thought, but is it? Is there a lack of love in the world? And the answer to that question is absolutely not. There's plenty of love. Because God has commended his love towards us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul attempting to describe the love of God, says its width, its length, its depth is beyond our comprehension. You could begin to swim in the sea of God's love and you would never traverse that sea. You could begin to climb the mountain of God's love and you would never ascend to the apex. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, there is an abundance of love. No, there's not a lack of love in this world. What there is a lack of receiving the one through whom the love comes. The gentleman that wrote the tune, or the lyrics, Hal David, I did a little history on him, wrote a lot of songs, something about dancing in the rain, and probably a number of songs that you would recognize. But one of the things I discovered in reading this is that in this lyric of this song, What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love, the chorus, or the verses, I should say, start with, Lord, we don't need any more mountains. Lord, we don't need any more valleys. And I thought, how interesting that he would use the name of the Lord. And what was his intent? And I can't answer that question. But what I can tell you is the gentleman that wrote these words, who says there's not enough love in the world, is a Jewish man. And the reason he had come to the conclusion that love was the answer, there's just not enough of it, is because as a Jewish man, he is yet to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. Absolutely. If you're living void of Christ, you might come to that conclusion. There's not enough love in the world, but the reality is there is an abundance of love. You just have to receive it. And when you receive it, you come to this realization. God gives us that which he is. Whatever you're wanting of God, whatever you're desiring of God, is what he is. Now that may seem simple and maybe it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you. But you see, when you turn to the book of James, he doesn't talk about the love of God. I think three times love is recorded in all of this epistle. But he opens up this chapter of a letter that talks about the issues of the tongue. It talks about the issues of dead faith. It talks about the issues of partiality within the church. It talks about all kinds of issues of temptations and sin and the lust in our own life. It is largely a corrective letter written to the church of God. Now, why would I start a message talking about higher learning with thoughts about love? The reason I started it that way is because the predominant message in the church today is the love of God. Now, I'm not here to demean that. I'm not here to speak low of that, for God is love. And I am ever grateful that he commended that love towards me when I was yet a wretched sinner. Christ died for me. I am especially thankful that God demonstrated his love towards me. Aren't you? But all of those born again by the Spirit of God that entered into the church because he builds his church need to move on from the love of God to dealing with the issues that we have in the church. To keep rehashing the fact that God loves us doesn't really do anything of correction within our lives or building up within our lives to become the people of God that he desires us to be. We've got to move forward, and that's exactly what James, the half-brother of Jesus, is teaching. Because he asks us this question. Of the people at that time, the church of God at that time, and to us today, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, now let me ask you the question, do you?
The answer is very obvious, isn't it? We do lack wisdom. Nobody here am I ever going to meet on the street and go, "Oh, most wise one." I'm not going to do that. Because I know you. And I know me. And I know the reality of what he proposes to us, that if we lack wisdom, the answer to it then is to let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, abundantly, overflowingly. He will give me wisdom if I ask of him. He won't belittle me for asking. He won't upbraid me for asking. No, he'll give it to me liberally, but only if I ask in faith, fully confident, not wavering in my faith, but fully confident in my absolute need of him above and beyond all things. If that's what it says, and if somebody like Gabby is graduating into something new, if each of us from day to day are graduating from the day past into the day to come, then it seems to me that we should be thinking a lot about our need for wisdom and how to obtain it. Maybe more importantly than that, it should be, what is wisdom after all? Wouldn't it be good to know what it is that we lack in order to ask God and he'll give it to us abundantly? You know, we talked about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. There was a chorus that was presented that we would sing and nobody knew it. It's hard to sing something you don't know. It's hard to ask for wisdom if you don't know what wisdom is. And so I want to do just a quick little study and to understand what wisdom is. Now, what's interesting is if we use it, wise is an adjective form, a wise man, right? That's an adjective form. If we use that, the Greek word is sophos, S-O-P-H-O-S, and it appears that in the Greek they took it from a Hebrew word, sophim, S-O-P-H-I-M. It appears that that's where it came from. Now, the word sophim in Hebrew is watchman. And not just a watchman, but an elevated watchman. Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute. I want you to think about where the temple was built. In what city? Jerusalem, upon a hill. I want you to think about the pagans in the time of the Old Testament. Where did they put their altars? Where did they put their temples? In high places. And the idea in being a wise man is someone who is elevated to a position where you might observe from that observatory. Now that makes perfectly good sense, doesn't it? You know, if you think about military tactics, that would be a military tactic. If you wanted to know what the enemy was doing, and if you want an oversee of the whole battlefield, you would elevate yourself. That's a position of power. That's a position of prominence. For those of you who hunt, isn't that what we do? We get up on a high spot so that we can see better what's going on around us from that high spot. But it isn't simply to see what's going around you and below you. It's more important to understand that a watchman, from the biblical standpoint, a wise person, a sophim person, is a person who ascends in order to see above them. You remember the gentleman that came from the east at the time of Jesus' birth? Oh, we call them by a number of different names, but one of the things we say, wise men. Do you know why they were called wise men? Because they studied the stars. In trying to figure out what was going on down here, they would look up to the stars and try and figure it out. Now, God was sure gracious, wasn't he? He showed them something in the stars. But what he showed them in the stars was not that they would worship the stars, but that the stars would lead them to worship the one who was born. You know, today we have people that worship the stars. We have people that worship the sun. We have people that worship the creation rather than the creator. You see, the idea is to turn your gaze upward, but to extend your gaze beyond the natural world into the heavens above. I was thinking of different passages of Scripture. One of them you're probably familiar with is Psalm 121. Again, we're talking about the idea of wisdom in being wise and asking the Lord for it. But what is it? What is wisdom? Now, if you turn to Psalm 121, and we pick up with verses, well, let's just read all of Psalm 121. The psalmist now, this is a psalm, song of degrees. Interestingly enough, a song of degrees was read as they ascended the stairs to the temple. They would read this as they were ascending to a high place. Okay? He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keeps thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The Lord shall not smite thee by day. The sun shall not smite thee by day or the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forward, even forevermore. You notice what the psalmist is doing. He isn't looking to the hills for his help. He's looking to the one who created the hills. It is an upward look before he would go forward. Do you see it there? Look to the Lord, and then he directs your path. You see, the issue is, if you're going to be wise, is first of all to find out, where does the wisdom come from? The wisdom comes from above. James would conclude that thought in James chapter 3. When he says in verses 17 and 18, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. There's two kinds of wisdom. There's a wisdom that's earthly and devilish and from below, that only brings turmoil and division and all these things in our life. And then there's wisdom from above, that the watchman would ascend to a high spot to look even higher. That the watchman would ascend to a place where he is suspended below heaven and above the earth. This would be a wise man. This would be a wise man. What does that translate to you and I? The translation, if you're looking for higher learning, is to look first to the Lord. You know, it's kind of interesting, isn't it, how we get busy with things in life and we pour all of our energy and all in our effort into temporal things, and the one thing that we have a tendency to put on the back burner is our relationship with the God of heaven. We get busy with things, we're making our plans, we're getting our education, we're doing our jobs, we're taking care of our families, we're doing nothing wrong with those things, we're doing all of that, but the one thing we have a tendency to lack in is our relationship with the only wise God. Because, and remember this, God gives what he is. You want to ask for wisdom? What you're asking for is for a deeper relationship with a God who is wise. What you're asking for is for a revelation of God's very nature and being to be enlivened within your life. That you're seeking to know him, you're seeking to grow in him, you're seeking to understand more and more, you're hungering and you're desiring him. That's wisdom. And God grants it liberally to those who without waver seek him by faith. You see, this is why, if you turn to Proverbs then, Proverbs chapter 9, all of this starts to make sense. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 9 through 11, we could look at other passages within Proverbs, the book of wisdom. But Proverbs 9, 9 through 11, give instruction to a wise man and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of your life shall be increased. If you be wise, you shall be wise for yourself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shall hear it. You understand what God is saying here? Sophus is a man, a watchman, who gets himself to a high place so that he might have a better view of the heavens from which his help comes. That leads to the wisdom that comes to us, and the wisdom that comes to us is a Greek word, Sophia. Sophia, wisdom, is an understanding of our relationship with the God who is wise. In other words, what we're talking about here is if you want to be wise, it's coming in a deeper understanding of who God is. That's wisdom. That's wisdom because when we get that, when we get that wisdom from God because he is wise and he gives us that which he is, then he says in this passage, he says that you'll have knowledge of the holy and understanding. Proverbs 3 is a passage that my wife includes. I don't know if you did in Gabby's card or not, but she often includes Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in her graduation cards that she gives. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. One of the things we pray for our children is that they'll be prosperous. We desire for our children that when they make this next step and they go to college or they enter the workforce or they enter into the military, that they'll succeed in those things. That's what a loving parent wants. But what the book of Proverbs tells us then as parents, what we need to be instructing our children in is this, first and foremost. Wisdom is a growing relationship with God. From that growing relationship with God, he gives you wisdom to know how to deal with things in this world. You see, there's two Greek words for wisdom within our Bibles. The one is Sophia, and it deals those when passages use that word for wisdom, it is directly related to your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The other word is phronesis. We often have it in our Bibles as wise, but it's in things like this. He is wise with his money. He is wise in his studies. He is wise in his business. That's phronesis. And phronesis comes as a result of having wisdom and a good relationship with the Lord. The wise develop their relationship with the Lord. The wise maintain their relationship with the Lord. The wise build on their relationship with the Lord. The wise hunger for a deeper relationship with the Lord. And in order to live in understanding and in prudence in this world. I believe this is why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you." To put our trust in the Lord, to seek the Lord with all of our hearts. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29. And this is for all of us as we graduate from one day to another. It is specific to Gabby, who's taking this step into a next chapter of the life that God is writing. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, you shall find him. And if you seek him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Psalm 103, verse 4, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Isaiah 55 and verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and reigns in righteousness upon you. Luke 11 and verse 10, for everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Acts 17 verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us. Do you want to be wise? Do you recognize your need for wisdom? It comes when you seek the one who gives us that which he is. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how often we complicate things. How often we find ourselves seeking our own direction, our own path, our own wills to be fulfilled, and we find great difficulty. But Lord, if at every day and in every way we seek your counsel, we seek your ways and your thoughts which are higher and different than ours, and we are elevated to sit in heavenly places with you, when we build on that right relationship with you, how clear all of these other things become. We recognize, Lord, the error of lie and the virtue of truth. We recognize that which is good as opposed to that which is evil. We are built up into a strong relationship with you. Your Spirit empowers us to live for you. And we are used of you and for you and by you for your glory. Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us, for we are in a graduation process, being transformed by the renewing of our minds, being conformed unto the image of your dear Son, that you have begun a good work within each one of us and you will see it through. Give us a heart of wisdom to seek you, the only wise God. Give us a heart of wisdom to yield to you, the only wise God who needs no counselor. Give us a willingness to bow and to be obedient unto your calling. For Lord, you know that which is right for us. And so Lord, in all things, no matter what our further higher learning is, the most important high learning is to learn more and more of an infinite God who has expressed his love for us. And so, Lord, give us a hunger for you. Give us a heart for you. Give us a heart to be in your word daily and to seek you in prayer continuously and in every situation, that you might be glorified, that we might be edified, and that you, Lord, might keep us out of the pitfalls of this world. We pray these things today, Lord, because we know of your continual love for us and your plans for us and your purposes that you have designed for us. May you be glorified as you graduate us from day to day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.